Hey there, everybody. This is Bradley Haltom. Thanks again for tuning in to the Table Noise Podcast. We had a great episode this week. We interviewed Rick DeSimone, who is a local Denver comedian and was a lot of fun to talk to. And we talked about depression. We talked about comedy. We talked about the human nature, all kinds of stuff. It was a lot of fun. A couple quick plugs. May 15th, I will be at Mile High Merchant Saloon, which is in the DU area. So all you college kids, come out and have a good time. May 26th, I will be at the Toad Tavern, and that is a burlesque slash comedy show, so boobies and dick jokes. It's a lot of fun, you guys. And June 9th, I will be at Bohemian Beer Garden in Boulder, Colorado, which will be a lot of fun as well. And next week, we will be interviewing Jen Koscheka, who is also a local Denver comedian, so be sure to tune in for that. And we are now available on Stitcher and iTunes. And that means that we are mobile, you guys, so you can take us into the car with you and plug us in, and we will talk to you while you are driving to and from wherever it is that you may be going or coming from. Thanks again for tuning in. Please follow me on Twitter, at Bradley Haltom, H-A-L-T-O-M, as in Mary, and find me on Facebook, Comedian Bradley Haltom. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys, and please enjoy the episode. Hey everybody, welcome to Table Noise. This is your host Bradley Haltom. We are at the Fundy Compound. I'm here with co-host Micah Carmack.
Hey, hey.
And today we're sitting down with comedian, local Denver comedian, Rick DeSimone.
What do you want?
I wanted to thank you for coming and doing the podcast. Them. Well,
we're going to do a call-in show, right? People can call in and ask questions.
Sure. Cool. They can call in on Tuesday when it's no longer live.
Excellent.
Yeah, that'll be good. What do you think they want? What do you think the people want from you, Rick?
Basically, just me to tell them everything about my life in graphic detail and to just hear about every little thought that I have. Every little, because I know that people don't get enough of me on stage. I think people want to know, you know, tell me more about the depression. Can you paint a darker picture? Fill in the little blank spots. You're leaving a lot of negative space out there, Rick, and we want you to fill it with just everything bad that goes on in your head.
I love your style of comedy. I think it's a lot of fun.
My style?
Yeah, when you kind of discuss depression, yeah. I sincerely appreciate that because I suffer from depression pretty intensely sometimes. Yeah. And I've recently started talking about it, but I'm having a hard time really grasping the concept, you know what I mean? Like holding on to it because it's so slippery it's so different for everybody.
And that's the thing is it's not – depression is a mood, so it's not something that you can talk about on stage. It's a way that you have to be. Like, I don't get up there and be like, hey, guys, my depression is like this. I just get up there and I am depressed. You know, and that's how I write jokes. It's not like I get up there and I'm like, oh, the accurate diagnosis for depression is, you know, whatever. It's like, I'm going to talk about girls in a way that is depressed. I'm going to talk about life and football and things.
Perspective.
Yeah, exactly. It's a perspective. It's a way to be. It's a lifestyle. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. Not a condition. Not a subject. It's a lifestyle.
I don't get depressed. I am depressed.
Exactly. Exactly. Welcome to the podcast, guys. It's called Table Cock. What is it called?
This is going to be the Table Cock episode. Table Cock. If you want to initiate that.
What do you guys call it, though?
Table Noise?
Table Noise.
Coffee Cake Radio.
Coffee Cake Radio. All right. Welcome. Why do you guys run a podcast?
Why do we run a podcast?
Yeah, I'm going to interview you guys first.
I don't know. What I wanted to do, kind of, as far as the podcast was concerned, was bring on people such as yourself, right? And some of the previous guests that we've had that kind of have an interesting background that a lot of people don't really get to know about because a lot of people are caught up in like their mundane lives and just kind of the day to day.
So tell me about some of your previous guests and their interesting background.
Last week we had Jordan Waliba.
Okay.
Okay. So Jordan Waliba is a transgender comedian.
Right.
And she is undergoing, she's got tits now.
Like, woo! Did you guys see
I'm
it?
A fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm proud of her.
I admired from afar.
She didn't go too big. Okay. She didn't go too small. They looked great. I was apprehensive to tell her that on there.
Okay.
But good for her, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm happy for her. And then she's kind of undergoing the whole sex change thing. And,
right.
And that's crazy. Like, that's so, that's I guess crazy is probably not the right word, but it's an interesting.
That's batshit insane. I mean, right.
Why would you do that? No, it's an interesting lifestyle. Like, it's an interesting background and kind of history.
Mm-hmm.
The episode that we did before that was on 420, so we basically just got stoned and pontificated about the world.
Okay, I bet you guys had a lot of listeners for that.
It was funny because we ended up going way longer than we should have.
Yeah.
And for the first hour, it was good. Yeah. But then as we progressively smoked more and more weed,
right.
It got worse.
Right. I only want to listen to the last 5 minutes of that podcast where you guys are creating your own Lord of the Flies here in this garage, stirring up.
The first guest was, wait, did we have a second guest? Oh, second guest. Yeah, we did because we've done four episodes. So our second guest was our buddy Mason, who was in the Navy for 5 years, mm-hmm. and was stationed overseas. And so he got to see some interesting stuff in like Thailand. So he was like telling us about Thai sex shows and stuff.
Wow.
So that was really interesting,
okay.
and fun to talk about. And our first guest was Cameron versus Humanity.
So basically, weeds and boys dressing as girls is what you guys have covered so far.
So far, we've covered the gamut, a variety of interesting topics, and I've been titillated every single time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping that you'll deliver, my friend.
Oh, cool. All right. Who's your friend? When do I need to deliver? Get it? Get out. All right. Fuck this. Okay, cool. That's why we're sober, so this show will only last 35 minutes.
Yeah, right. Solid exactly. 35. Titillation.
Right.
Yeah.
That's with 20 minutes of commercial breaks.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. I've actually thought about having fake sponsors.
Cool.
And doing kind of fake sponsor stuff, but I haven't come up with anything yet.
Let's do one. Let's improv a fake sponsor.
Okay.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-ba. For your special needs, get...
Ass wipes.
Purchase our product, ass wipes. They wipe your ass. So you don't have to, but with them you do, because they're ass wipes, and you have to do the work still.
Is your anus bleeding from too much friction from your toilet paper? Try ass wipes.
It'll happen still, but we'll get rich.
Ass wipes, so your hand don't smell like ass.
Yeah.
All right, so there's ass wipes.
That's ass wipes, cool. All right, that's good.
That's our first sponsor, ass wipes.
All right,
Cut that in post.
Cut that in post.
We'll remove that, okay. And we're going to leave it.
Cool.
How long have you been doing stand-up, Rick?
A little over 5 years now.
Yeah?
And that's long enough. I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done.
Is this your retirement
This
podcast?
Is my retirement. This is my announcement. Yes, exactly. I was going to go on WTF with Mark Maron, but he wouldn't pay me enough.
Right.
So, yeah, here on Wild Willie's podcast is where I'm coming out as a non-comic.
All right.
No, I'm just joking. I'll always do it.
Yeah, it's a weird bug, isn't it?
It is, and it's not so much like, I don't even know if I'm thinking of it as a career now or a hobby or whatever. It's just it's a part of my life, and so even if it gets down to the point where I'm doing it once a month and I go up on stage and I rant about like you know the girl that just left me or you know getting junk mail or whatever, I'll always have that venue. I'll always have that outlet. You know,
so it's kind of a catharsis.
It is, and some depends on the night on stage. Sometimes it is a catharsis. Sometimes it's, you know, it feels good, depending on what you're talking about. Other times it's just like you're getting paid and you don't want to do it, so you get up there and you have to do it. And,
yeah
that's as much of catharsis, but in a totally different way.
Do you feel like your perspective on why you do it has changed over the years?
I don't think I've ever known.
Honestly, that's a good answer.
Yeah, it's not something where. Well, okay, I'll tell you why I started. We'll go that way. Where I got started, I went down to the Squire and saw Adam Caton Hollins do an open mic, and I was like, "Hey, cool! That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be." And of course, everybody else that was on the show, and I saw new guys and old guys and people in the middle.
Sure.
But that was the one that really stuck out. And so I got up about a month later with some shitty material that I'd written and. Bombed, and it's funny, one of the jokes that I had written, I had two jokes that I had written. I did one and bombed and didn't do it. The other joke that I didn't do It's still part of my act. I just did it last night. It's pretty amazing. It's gone through, you know, rewrites and all sorts of stuff. But I got a pretty good laugh last night. It's gross. I won't do it here. Okay. No jokes.
Yeah, we don't accept people doing bits on this.
Good, good.
We actually give you shit when you do it because it's obviously forced.
I know. It's like, what's the deal with really? Bits, right?
It's kind of like airline food, you know?
Yeah. Segway. Ask me about the last girl I did. No, I'm just joking. So now I guess my perspective's changed. I mean, it's not like everybody wants to do it in their lives. They want it to be dramatic, and they want it to be like a movie with all these concrete steps and moments of revelation and moments of truth and everything like that. And that's not the way it is. It's just a long, slow morphing of yourself. And yeah, I've changed from then to now, but it's not only comedy that's changing me. It's my career, it's relationships, it's friendships that I've made. And that's affected who I am, you know. And comedy sure is a part of that, but yeah, it's all weaves together. Big capture, that's life.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think stand-up is, like, learning how to do stand-up, for me at least so far, is learning how to express my perspective in the most pure way while allowing it to be funny. Okay. Which so it's always evolving because your life is always changing and things are always coming and going. And
right.
Know, for me, my children are getting older, or maybe I get into an argument with my wife, or maybe I go on a trip, or maybe something funny happens at work. And, right. You know, it's a matter of just kind of letting other people see that perspective. And oftentimes other people will share that because it's, you know, it can be relatable.
Yeah.
Or you can, I mean, but that's just one style. It's infinite.
Right.
It's infinite, and there's no set path.
That's a pretty long answer for just cum jokes, Brad.
I don't only do cum jokes. I do my fair share of cum jokes, but it's not only cum jokes.
I mean,
cum is a big part of my life.
That's a huge part.
At one point in all of our lives, it was exactly half of our life.
That's true.
We were cum and egg. That's how we were.
That's true.
Cool. We've hit like five major. But no, I totally agree with that. Like, because I'm still the same person, obviously. I still have a lot of the same perspectives and stuff. And I haven't learned or changed my perspective much, but what I've learned is how to express it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the same thoughts are still there. I'm still disdainful, and I still have a distrust of authority, and I still am extremely anxious and stuff. But you learn, you don't get rid of that stuff. You just learn to make it a part of your life in a productive way.
But what about the hardest part about the whole situation, the expectations? What about that has changed?
Get rid of them. Yeah, no, and that's
what,
it.
What did you have in the beginning as far as expectations?
Fame and fortune, and I'm going to show all these people, how comedy should be done. Exactly, and I mean, honestly,
you know what stand-up's missing? Me.
exactly. Oh, you know what? Politics, they need me. Exactly. I'm going to fix it. But I think if you don't have that at least a little bit, then you're not doing it right.
Well, you have to have that narcissism.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
While, because otherwise, you would never begin.
You've got a whole room of 200 people that you expect to listen to you, and you have to entertain them. You've got to have the, you know, self-will to say, yeah, I'm worthy of entertaining them.
Right, right.
It sucks though, when people, when certain people, like, aren't aware of that fact. When they just have this unrelenting ego, but... you know, aren't aware of the fact that, you know, oh yeah, I'm being kind of a princess right now. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing, is that the best comedians are the ones that have egos for a reason.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. That justified ego. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Those are my favorite comedians that can, like, you know, completely shut you down because they know how to.
Yeah, exactly. Louis C.K., best example of that. I mean, he's extremely self-deprecating. It exposes every little part of his life. And It's not a lack of ego that gives you the strength to get up on stage and talk about your cum. It is nothing but ego. Like, my cum is more valuable than anybody else's cum, so I'm going to talk about it. And people are going to love it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, every guy masturbates. It's only the ones that have extremely big egos that get up there and think other people want to hear about it.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But other people listen, so what does that say about them?
That they're winnings.
Life's a hollow.
Yeah. We all love to be entertained. I'm a fan.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a huge comedy fan. I love watching other stand-ups.
I mean, my entire life, I've grown up on comedy. What was some of the first stuff that you kind of got into that you can remember?
Yeah, I probably Eddie Murphy Delirious.
Right.
Nice. Then there was, that was the only one. And then there was I was I had a job when I was 16. I worked in a company that we manufactured heating equipment, heating and ventilating equipment. And some guy just had a comedy CD, and I don't remember the guy's name. It was just a British comedian, and just a couple of things that he said just shocked me. That they weren't shocking, but just the wit that was there and stuff. And I could probably listen to that, and I wouldn't think it was funny at all, because my taste in comedy has evolved so much. Because once you get behind the scenes, you see how it's done. You see how the chocolate's made, or see how the sausage is made. And it's much less impressive, but except when people do it well, then it's so much more impressive.
Yeah, when you see moments of brilliance. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning Louis C.K. in his last special. There was a couple things that he just said that were so poignant and simple, and brilliant, and frustrating to me. It's like, oh, that was right there. That was right there. And he's the first one to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, how was it that I didn't get there? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? How come my brain didn't follow that path?
Yeah.
It's right there. But those are moments of just sheer brilliance.
Yeah. And it's like living in a state of grace. You know, that's the thing. Is he's so in tune with himself, and the best comedians are. That's just who they are now. It's a state of grace, and they're in a state of comedy. Again, when it's done well, is a beautiful thing, because it's it's graceful. It's like any ballerina doing an amazing dance and everything. It's graceful.
It is kind of, it does seem like though, when you get to that upper echelon, that there are a couple of types of people. Because we're talking about Louis C.K. and how successful he is, and you can attribute that right to his hard work and his ethic and him getting the hell out there and just working his dick off every day. But then you think about your Richard Pryors and your Sam Kinisons and these guys who were they could not be funny. You know what I mean? They were just personalities that you just throw them on stage and they're gone. They're killing the audience. But they also had these really chaotic lifestyles that really just kind of turned their life into turmoil and shit. And that's a crazy comparison between a Louis C.K. and a Sam Kinison. Both fantastic comedians, but going down completely opposite paths to, legendary status. It's really kind of this amazing juxtaposition.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it, because those people couldn't be anything but themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a remarkable thing. Pale, normal white guys like me and Brad, we have to find things. If I got up there and just talked about things that I, was into, fucking dinosaurs, it would be dumb. Nobody would want to
listen to it. I love to be so dumb.
Yeah, they're awesome, but you'd rather see Jurassic Park than see me. There's so many of us that we have to really, I don't like where that's going, so I'm going to stop that sentence. I'm going to work on that.
You know, one thing that I appreciate that you've done is you've helped to garner a sense of community within the Denver comedy scene. You organized flag football, right? That wasn't your inception?
Michael Carter.
Michael Carter did it, right.
Yeah.
Michael Carter, where are you, man?
He's listening to your podcast.
He might be. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
That's a possibility. It's a very narrow possibility.
Maybe somebody will tag him in it. Seen him in a while.
I miss him. I really enjoyed watching him perform.
But yeah, I'm pretty cool too.
You are pretty cool. And so, flag football is a lot of fun. When are we going to start doing that again?
After the podcast, we'll talk about it. Now we're gonna get comedy flag football going again soon. All it's gonna take is creating a Facebook event. That's all it is.
A lot of people say that the community element of the Denver comedy scene is the best part. And that's and I've met a lot of you guys, and honestly, I gotta say, not really too many dicks in the bunch. I can't think of too many people that I wouldn't want to come out to see at a show, that I wouldn't want to come out and support and just fucking hang out with and have a beer with.
Yeah, well, and that's the amazing thing is that I don't know how it worked, but any community that starts with a few people and then like-minded people get attached to that and then like-minded too. So if you start a scene with dicks, then dicks are going to be attracted to it. But the people that we have at the top, you know, Troy Baxley, Ben Roy, Ben Kronberg, the people that really, you know, helped start the scene, the Grolix guys, all of them, you know, the ones at the top, they really set the tone for the rest of us and showed us how to act and how to treat others with respect and how to be creative with it and how to have fun with it. And that's where it really works out, because the people that are assholes, and that there have been plenty, but they're, I don't want to say ostracized, but they're weeded out pretty quickly because they don't feel, you know, if you go to a place where everybody's doing meth, then somebody goes in and they're not doing meth, you know. Basically, it's not a scene that's fit for them, so they leave. Yeah. And they can go wherever people are being dicks and get along just fine. But that's, I mean, they don't feel comfortable here. And so we have to use Lord of the Rings or any religious metaphor you want, light drives out darkness. And so the dark people don't want to be around, you know. It's fantastic.
It's fun.
It is. And I love the people there. For the most part, they're fantastic, good people. I made a lot of friends. Yeah.
And you helped to run Kinga's.
Yes, I did.
That was my home base for a while I was able to go real regularly. I was there every week, man. Kinga's. It's a great place.
A lot of people have said that to me. It's like they're a lot of people are like, you know, a lot of people identify with a specific show or a specific open mic. You know, when I started, I was a 404 comic or a cigar bar comic, or, you know, I was one of those comics. Now, well, I'm a Kinga's comic, and a lot of people have come up to me, and that's really rewarding for somebody to say, hey, I'm a Kinga's comic. Because we do, four guys that ran it, we do try to foster a culture, if you will, of inclusivity. You know, new comics get as much respect as, you know, guys that have been doing it a while. We try to be fair, we try to be just, and we try to just generate positivity, as Deepak Chopra as that sounds. And that's, you know, why shouldn't anything that you do, you can add that air of positivity to it, and it's going to make it better. It's going to make it an enjoyable experience. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be in a cancer ward, and if you're doing it with a sense of positivity, you know, treating patients and stuff, then it doesn't have to be a depressing place.
Absolutely.
So that's bringing joy to dive bars is what comics do.
So there are a lot of spots that you would say don't exactly emulate that attitude, the same attitude?
In terms of comedy,
in terms of that kinsmanship, that inclusivity you talked about, is there any spots that you would, like, stay away from in the Denver scene?
I'm sure there are, but I don't go to them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, the people that I like are doing shows that I like, so those are the ones that I get invited to. Yeah. And if... there are a lot of upstarts that there's a lot of new comics. We did last year. We did Denver Comedy Awareness Week, and we got, you know, Rocky Mountain News article and our Denver Post article, and we had a special comedy works. But basically, the idea was to get out there and push and get people to be aware of the Denver comedy scene, because we wanted a bigger audience of more people to perform. Backfire of that is it got a lot of people who wanted to do comedy to do it. And so now, I mean, that's great, because it makes it, but it brought a lot more comics than it did audience. And so now there's a lot of, I wouldn't say splintered. I would say that there's a lot of people who don't really get it and aren't part of the community doing their own thing. And of course, I'm not going to say that they can't, but if you're not running a good show, I don't want to be a part of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I could do a couple of
those,
and they're not fun.
Yeah. No. Absolutely not. Nobody wants to. Yeah. Where do we go from here?
Where do you go from here? Back. Are you into technology metric?
Kind of. I know what computers are.
Well, you work in the glasses field. Have you seen Google Glasses?
Yeah.
What do you think about those? Do you have an opinion on
that? I don't know. They're not. They don't do anything. They don't increase your vision, so it's not really part of something that I would.
You wear them on your face. So I figured
exactly.
It would be related.
I want to know what they do. I mean, there's a lot of potential for that technology, but I don't think there's a practical application for it right now. Of course, that's what drives everything, is people thinking, having ideas 10 years into the future. That's, yeah.
I think it's going to be a boon to YouTube for sure, because, I mean, people are going to be able to catch all those moments in an instant. I mean, all it really takes is you just getting your finger to the side of your temple really quick, and you can immediately capture whatever the fuck is going on in front of you. And that's exciting and very terrifying at the same time.
A lot of people are really concerned about
privacy
infringements.
Oh, man.
And I can kind of understand that, but it seems like our world is moving to a place of where there is no privacy.
You know what I mean? Here's the thing is, people are worried about the wrong freedoms right now. It's bullshit. Let's get political for a minute.
That's fine. Yeah. I enjoy politics.
I mean, people chant, yeah, we want our freedom and everything. And what they want is the freedom to consume as much as they, you know, as much as they want to. People are concerned with people infringing on their right to buy different, you know, I don't know what. They want to be able to be consumers food. As much as they want to. And they want corporations to be free and stuff. But, I mean, that... Those things are essentially worthless. Those freedoms are essentially worthless. The most important freedom is, you know, freedom to create, freedom to express. And those are things that really matter. People don't, you know, really give a fuck about that. They don't.
I mean, talk about the freedom to create. I mean, it's getting to this really odd point where we're able to print semi-automatic weapons out of a machine.
Yeah.
From the comfort of our living rooms now, and it's like that's a reality as of today. I mean, and we want to have that ability in this country. We want to be able to like say that I can go run off and make my own thing and have it be cool. But at what point does it affect your neighbor?
Yeah. And
when does your freedom affect, you know, the person's down the street's safety? And
yeah, and it's a matter of rights versus responsibilities. People say, I want this, I deserve this, and everything. But what also are you contributing to deserve that, you know?
Right.
Reinforced rights.
Huh?
Reinforced rights, we just don't enforce responsibility.
Exactly. Like, sure, you can, fine, own your semi-automatic guns, I don't give a fuck, okay? But go out and help in the community. Work at a food bank or whatever. And those are responsibilities. We live in a civilized society, quote unquote, but that's not only about protecting you, but that's also you protecting it. You have to go in and cultivate a sense of community, and that's the thing that we don't have anymore. Community, I mean, like here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
We're in the extreme suburbs right now. You know, how many of your neighbors do you know?
I know the neighbors couple. In one house.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's a great thing about technology is now we're getting out and we're creating our own communities, like the comedy community, mm-hmm. and because you have that freedom of expression, which is great because you can find like-minded people, but it's also horrible because that's all you want to find is like-minded people.
Right.
And you got to force yourself to go into positions where you're dealing with people who have way different opinions than you.
Well, and the thing about small or large groups like that is that very soon they become very possessive. So your neighborhood, you know, has to band together against all the, you know, riffraff that might be coming into our neighborhood. And, you know, I mean, you've seen it play out time and time again. I'm not talking anything specific about any specific community or anything, but I think at a certain point...
You're talking about the white community. We know it.
Yeah. Goddamn crackers. you know what? I wasn't going anywhere special with that point, so...
No, that's fine. Here, I'll flame it a little bit. Because we all have things that are characteristics, attributes, and everything.
Sure.
Again, I'm white, I'm a comedian, I'm male, I like these certain bands and everything. And in a way, those are all communities that I belong to. Like, I belong to the white male community.
Average person community, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then, you know, I belong to the comedian community, and then I belong to the opticians community and everything like that. But we have to realize that we all should identify as part of the human community more than
right.
we do as any other individual community.
Absolutely.
And so I think that because I'm getting preachy as fuck right now. You guys are fun to talk to.
You're on point.
But that's the thing. Where I am immediately right now is the way I try to look at it is that's my immediate community. That's the community that I'm part of right now. You know what I mean? I'm not a comedian here doing a podcast with the guy with a computer and, you know, I'm part of you guys. This is what we're doing. So I'm going to be nice to you guys and I'm going to cultivate you. And then if I go into Five Points and I'm sitting down at, you know, a diner there with a bunch of people that I have nothing in common with, I'm still going to be a part of that community. I'm still going to...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's universal truth that you should project love onto the person that you're spending time with, and they will project that back onto you.
Right.
And if they don't, then you no longer spend time with that person.
Yeah.
Like, it's, okay, well, we'll just sever the tie and go our separate ways. And you know, love thy neighbor as you would love yourself is it's a pure truth. And yeah. That's what we should all aspire to.
Well, I think one thing that people have a really hard time with is intent and recognizing intent. And where I get hung up with, especially in the female department, is understanding what I meant by what I said. Typically, it can be translated thusly. Hey, that thing I said? Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, intent can, you know, that wire gets crossed and people... will take. You ever had somebody take something you said completely the opposite way that you know meant it to come out? And it's like, I think that happens on a day to day basis. For me, traffic. Every single person who's not in my car is a motherfucker every single day.
Yeah.
And I can't understand that. Like, you know, well, maybe I'm kind of the asshole. Like, at the time, I'm just like, I want to kill everybody at the moment, but. I'm not connecting on that human level because we're in these little tiny like metal boxes that are removed from another human being. I just see a blur of douche, you know, going 80 miles past me, and I'm just like, fuck that guy. I hope, you know.
Oh, if it's a blur of douche, yeah, totally. Fuck that guy. But, oh, yeah. And that's, we surround ourselves with things we like, so the things we don't like are on the outside. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
And just get to like things. Get to like everything. Love everything, you know? Fucking...
Well, and understand, like, I think where I was trying to go with that point was, you know, you can not like something, but you can also, you know, recognize that the intent may not be malicious. You know? Yeah. You may not like that guy's personality, but he's not a bad guy.
Well, and that's one thing that I've been going through a huge lately is growing up, I hated religious people. Mm. I absolutely... But then I went... my boss now, I work for an optometrist, and in his room, he's got John 3:16 hanging up there. He's, you know, he's an usher at his church and everything. And just working with him and realizing none of that matters at all, a smidge and everything, because he takes care of me. He's concerned about me. He likes the work that I do and is appreciative and everything like that. And Christians can be good people.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought that, yeah.
Did you grow up without religion?
I grew up with, boy, my mom was a kind of hippie. We grew up going to powwows and, you know, doing
and
meditation
TV?
Circles. Yeah, oh, yeah, all that stuff. Oh, I was, my sister was, we were part of this group called Red Shield Council, and it's, you know, Native American, and they would, you know, have representatives at every powwow and everything, and it's really interesting. But my sister, who is the whitest, blondest, bluest, you know, person on the planet, was voted, I forgot how they did it, but she was the princess of the council. And so there were all these little Native American girls that hated her, absolutely hated her. But that's the thing, is like, this is why it sucks to be white. Because any spiritual thing that you pick up besides the waspiness, you know, or that... Judaism or whatever.
Just pick up some Judaism.
Yeah. But if you get into Buddhist things, if you get into Buddhist things or Native American things, then you're considered New Age and stuff. And it it seems so disingenuous because you're, you know, just this suburban, you know, tranquil, idiotic white person.
Spiritualism in general oftentimes comes off disingenuous from people. Rarely does the person standing in the street waving around their spirituality on a fucking, you know, sign card, rarely do they have their shit together enough to really understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Or to be telling anybody else what they should do to make their lives better.
I think it's the people who you're not hearing from who, you know, keep that shit to themselves. I think, you know, we got to start finding those people and track them down. Like, hey, why do you have it so together not to, like, stand in the street and berate people?
And you know those people that are out there on the streets preaching love and kindness, they're going to go into McDonald's and call the guy a faggot because he missed one of the patties on his burger. You know what I mean?
He's going to get angry and act like a human just like the rest of us. And I think that's the awareness of humanity, like, that understanding that, like, you're no different from anybody else just because of this creed, this culture, this skin color, this sexual orientation, this whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you're no different from the rest of us, motherfucker. You're doing this. This is your day one, too.
Right.
You haven't done this before.
Those are just the clothes that you put on. That would be like me putting on a pair of jeans and then walking around talking shit about everybody that wasn't wearing a pair of jeans. Mm-hmm. One little different thing in your life could have changed. You could have been born with Buddhist parents or alcoholic parents, and you would be wearing slacks instead, and you know, you would hate people that were wearing jeans.
But that doesn't mean that you're not the same person.
Yeah, exactly. You're not special because of the circumstance that you were put in. People are so controlled by their circumstances in life.
Right.
And yeah, God, such bullshit.
I mean, that's why I want to travel so badly. I love going to different places and like where I'm, you know, I don't have a stake in anything. I'm going to leave here soon. But in the meantime, I can get to know you in a purer way because, you know, I can just delve into this for just a quick bit and like learn about, you know, how people perceive the world who are different from me. You know?
Well, and it's also extremely arbitrary, the things that you choose in your life. Like people that were born in Denver and are thus the Broncos fans, and they rally around it so much, but it's totally an arbitrary thing.
Yeah.
You've got guys from all over the country that went to different. The guy from Florida went to Oregon State University, and now he's playing in Denver, and he's part of your team because you grew up in Denver.
Most of these guys could give two shits if they get traded.
Well, they're
tomorrow.
Doing it because they get paid.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm still going to make $13 billion. Yeah, okay. Denver. All right. I'll live there for 2 years.
But it's people going, oh, this is where I am, so this is what I love. Yeah.
You know what? I do that. I'm guilty of doing that, yes. But I at least understand that had I been born in Minnesota, I'd probably be a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I accept it, and because it's Denver, I get to have a little bit of nationalism, because I don't have a lot of nationalism in my life, so I get a little bit of it, like this is my locality, so this is the team that I like, you know?
And it's not a bad thing because people have fun. No, it's a great thing because people have fun.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing because cars get flipped over and turned on and set on fire.
But as long as you recognize the things you like are totally arbitrary, then
absolutely. I mean, honestly... everything else is equally arbitrary. I mean, music and art of any kind is completely subjective to each person. So why bother having a competition for singers? Why bother, you know, having a top 40?
Oh, no, there's absolutely objectively a best singer in the world. Like, absolutely the best musician. And that's, oh, God, that's so funny because people, like... the smallest thing could make you like a band versus not like a band. I have bands that I hate just because my exes like them. You know what I mean? And
It has nothing to do with their musical quality or ability. But
I have a couple of those. Yeah. Can't get on it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Weezer's done for me.
Weezer. I can't listen to Weezer anymore. I'm
done.
I used to really like Weezer.
Yeah. What's that song that had girl, if you like it, if you want... me, I want you to.
Yeah.
That is the pussiest love song ever. Because it's like, you know, if you want me, I want you to, but I'm not going to come out and say it. And then
but if you don't want me, it's cool. I was just joking anyway.
Yeah. And then he talks about, like, he went over to the girl's parents' house and ate meat.
Even though he's a vegan.
Even though he's a vegan. You're a hero. You're fighting the good fight.
Rock and roll, man. Exactly. I just still have the energy to strum a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck this cow. I want to bang this chick.
What do you expect from a guy named Rivers?
The vegan movement, man. It's. I'm totally for it. I'm totally for people doing whatever they want to do and eat whatever they want to eat. But it went the way of that mid-90s extreme vegetarian where people are, like, getting in your face about it and, like, you know, getting super, like, oppressed about it.
It's another religion.
Yeah, it's another fad that's like coming. And I honestly, like, I read an article the other day that they had a study of people in two different cultures. One in California, vegans in California, mm-hmm. and then a vegan culture, I can't remember the country, so I'm not going to say, but it was one of the Asian Pacific kind of countries, and they both ate relatively the same amount of fresh, raw vegetables every day. And yet, this Asian culture was actually living longer, had less medical conditions, just overall a little bit healthier than yeah. these like sickly California vegans. They found out, it was like, well, that's because in this like weird little third world country, they're eating bug parts by the ton because they don't have any processing to keep, you know, all these insects out of their fucking raw food. So they're getting animal protein on a consistent basis.
It's like, oh, no, it's fantastic.
Score one for the fat shits. All right.
It's funny. And there's so many intangible things, so many little intangible things. And if you observe anything, you know, to such a microscopic degree, you're going to find that so many of the things that really affect you, you don't even know do.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you work in an office building and there's a strange glint off another office building at 4:58 p.m., for some reason, you're going to end up hating 4:58 p.m., and 60 years from now, you're going to kill yourself at 4:58 p.m. for absolutely no reason.
Is this in your journal?
Yeah, probably it should be.
4:58 p.m.
Yeah. Cool, that's my
just
album
write
title.
That over and over again.
I mean, that's a bad example, but just stupid little things like that, guys.
Went over to Rick's house, all the clocks are stuck at 4:58 p.m.
Yeah, exactly. There's a dead rat on each one. What the fuck?
That's silly. They have robotic insects flying around now.
Yeah, those are cool.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they're the size of a penny.
Yeah, I like the little drone movement that's kind of going on. Like, it's a little nerve-wracking, but yeah. I like the idea of civilian drones.
Mm-hmm.
Really fascinates me, but they're not able to fly.
Because you grew up in the 80s, and the movies all promised that. Yeah,
yeah, right? And it's coming to fruition.
It is, yeah. It's exciting.
It's fun.
Meanwhile, DARPA's had that shit for probably 30 years. You know, like, do you think that that's... Also, going back to the whole privacy thing, that's going to be an issue.
That's going to be an issue for sure. I saw a video of an article on one of these little insect-sized drones, and it was a mosquito that had a syringe on it and was able to inject a cracker into
nope.
you.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. Nope.
Wow, that's pretty scary.
Fuck so, like, that. It has the ability to get terrifying, but it also has the ability to, you could invent little drones that can pollinate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and considering a lot of the bees are dying, that may not be such a bad thing that we can have little drones that will pollinate plants and flowers.
I mean, we're going to have our Hiroshima as far as the drones go, you know, the fucking one catastrophe. But okay,
for
here's
sure.
the thing. Here's a great one. Okay. And this is, I brought this up a little while ago. I love it. Okay, out in Oregon, they're doing, or no, it's in Seattle. They're doing the world's first, or not, probably not the first, but they're just making a food forest. And they're just going to plant a bunch of fruit trees and stuff in this area, and it's just going to be a forest. It's going to be a natural life habitat, and anybody can go in any time and pick off the food that they want. And it's free food.
Cool.
And it's fucking brewing. But there's a whole tragedy of the common things where, you know, anything that's community property, if it's not regulated, it's going to be destroyed by, you know, a certain group or whoever
assholes.
Goes and doesn't
respect. Just an element of people who don't give a shit.
Exactly. Right. But, okay, when you do comedy... Do you write jokes for the audience, or do you write jokes for hecklers?
I wrote jokes for me.
You're trying to entertain the people that are there to see comedy. You can't based just off of the hecklers. We can't write policy just based off of the people that are, you know, the bad seeds and everything. You have to give incentive to do good too.
Yeah, that's the same argument exactly applies to the gun policy debate that. You know, they just failed that fucking bill that would have made all gun sale purchases require a background check. You know, it just seems like it makes sense. And, you know, the argument from the other side was like, well, criminals aren't going to get a background check anyway. And I'm like, there's no fucking reason not to still do it.
Right, right. Well, and that's the thing. Laws, okay, sure, laws are there to prevent crime, but they're also there to punish people who break the crimes. And if you don't make, if you don't write the laws, then it's legal.
Yeah.
So it's legal for these guys to go out and get guns. If you made it illegal, then you could prosecute them.
Exactly.
If you caught them. It's so dumb. I mean, so many of these arguments are just such bullshit.
Well, it is bullshit, but they have legs is the problem. It's like, where does that come from? I mean, how do you manipulate that many people? I think it's like goes back to that group mentality, that like that segregation of the people. It's like you're in this little village, and as long as you stick in this little village, man, as long as you agree with everything everybody else is talking about, then you know you're safe and you're accepted and you have a place.
Yeah, it's us versus them. Yeah, oh fucking all the time. I want to rally all the comedians to go and storm Capitol Hill. Just take over the Capitol. No, I'm just joking. That doesn't make any sense at all.
What would we do there, Rick?
I imagine we'd have some monkeys with us and maybe, you know, monkey with a judge wig just banging a gavel.
We'll do a circus in the lobby.
Yeah, exactly. No, but the us versus them mentality is such bullshit unless it's us humans versus them.
Some sort of extraterrestrial force that wants to murder all of us.
Yeah, ID4. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Independence Day for you non-idiots. Let's all fight and let's all rally against one evil thing and we'll make it, I don't know, something extremely arbitrary.
Let's rally against not giving a shit again for people. About people.
Not caring. Yeah, that's so
not caring about people. Yeah. Doesn't that sound so hippie?
Yeah. No, bro.
That's not gonna go anywhere.
Yeah.
Dude, let's have a campaign for like love, man. We can just like make stickers.
Yeah, gotcha. I gotta
just hang out.
I got a new didgeridoo.
Do yoga.
My cousin
and just love.
Hacky sack.
And just love.
Yeah, and screen print T-shirt.
Oh, but it's so common sense. I don't know.
Well, everybody wants to be on a team.
Yeah. And
everybody wants to be on the winning team.
They want to belong to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you from Denver?
Yeah.
So
Ingwood, Dolphin area. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. So do you feel that sense of like Denver pride?
Yeah, I love this city, but I know I'm not this city. It's not like I am Denver, you know. I enjoy Denver, but I'm not. It's like I enjoy Rage Against the Machine, but I'm not. You know, I'm not the guitarist for Rage Against the Machine,
yeah.
So I'm not gonna go around. Ooh, yeah, you know.
But even Tom Morello went off and did three other bands.
Then I watched. Yeah, exactly.
So like you know, you don't have that like kind of oh I'm gonna die here, man, kind of mentality.
No, absolutely not. I mean, like. The things I love about Denver are individual things, like the comedy community and certain restaurants and stuff. And those are things that I like. And out of those, you know, it's a restaurant that I like because of the specific burrito and a person because they did, you know. And I mean, sure, it's a great culture and everything. And everybody, a lot of people are really nice.
Well, I think that's a healthy attitude because I like that citizen of the world mentality. That I want to be carried to different places to exist for a short time. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
And then come back and call wherever I can, like get the most love together all around me at one time.
Yeah.
Call that my home for the time.
Exactly. Well, and as a side note, do you know a band called Strike Anywhere?
No.
They have a song called "To the World." Yeah, it's "I Pledge Allegiance to the World, nothing more, nothing less." Yeah, it's awesome.
Let's cue that up.
Copyright laws, CISPA and whatnot.
Yeah,
exactly. Just so you know, for your personal information, all you listeners out there, go listen to it. It's a great song.
It's an awesome song.
Yeah, and I wrote a manifesto a little while ago. Check out my Facebook page. It's called "The Deep Thoughtful Side of Rick," and it talks a lot about that. It's like you know, I give 10 rules for living properly, and it's extremely pretentious and everything. One of them is, you know, don't pledge allegiance to anything other than everything.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, even so, I mean, Denver's a great place to be, even with having that been said.
Right.
For about 6 months out of the year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I travel, I mean, I'll always come back here.
Or you just not be here when it snows. That'd be fucking...
I like the winter.
Yeah.
I do. I enjoy it.
Well, look
it makes
the
pasty. Summer.
The sun
I know,
hates you.
I know the sun is not my friend.
Yeah.
I enjoy it until after Christmas, and then I'm just like over it.
I love winters in basements.
Yeah, with space heaters and video games.
Yeah, exactly.
That's yeah. I like the way it breaks up the monotony of Sunshine.
The yeah, sunshine just gets so old.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have so much of it.
Yeah. It's too much. Happy May the 4th.
Yeah, okay. We'll go down that road. We can talk about that.
You saw Iron Man.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Iron Man?
Yeah, it was okay. Pretty good.
All right.
I mean, I'm not going to come all over the place about it because, I mean, honestly, having seen...
Have you come over all over the place about?
Willow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Val Kilmer back in the long hair.
I don't remember any of it. I just remember coming all over the place. Bad mod again? Oh, man, no. The third Iron Man is decent. The first one still probably the better.
Okay.
I'm so excited for the Marvel Phase 2.
Avengers 2.
We still have yet to really get a good grasp on what Disney's going to be doing to all of our beloved, you know, shits like Marvel and the Star Wars and just everything they're taking over. It's like, what are you planning?
You know what, though? A lot of the people that are working on that stuff are only slightly older than we are.
Yeah.
And so they grew up loving a lot of those franchises, too, and just want to make them better.
Look at Joss Whedon. Look what he did for the Avengers. That was fucking amazing.
That movie was incredible.
And that's if J.J. Abrams does the new Star Wars, that'll be good. Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter that Disney's got it because it's the creative people who are actually making it. They're just money at this point. There's no overall Disney vision anymore. It's not, you know, Mickey Mouse is going to be in the new Avengers or anything like that. It's just a studio that gives them money to make these because they see that they're good and they want to make money off of it.
Right.
And they do.
Yeah.
They make a fucking ton of money off of it.
You know, I'm not one to rail against merchandising because let me tell you, I had my fair share of Star Wars plays growing up. So
yeah.
It's not that, you know, I actually, you know, have enjoyed a lot of the Disney reboots. Like Tron, I thought was a really good movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't.
I liked it.
You know. They had the foresight to throw in, you know, Daft Punk. Come on, just what that's working with it.
Okay, cool. You're a fanboy, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I barely saw the first one.
The first Tron?
Yeah, I saw it like maybe twice in my entire life.
No, but I mean, in general, are you a fanboy?
Oh, well, I don't know. What do you mean by that term? Doesn't that have to be fairly specific? To
Did you go to Comic Con? It's not. No, I think. What are things that you really love that you would hate to see fucked up?
Oh, okay. So if they took a Final Fantasy VII movie,
yeah. Okay, cool.
And
yeah, cool. Don't fuck with Cloud. If you do not fuck with Cloud, and Aeris, no.
If we're gonna just start getting into like fiction that I cry at, Final Fantasy VII. No.
Yeah. Mine was pretty good too.
If fanboy means an emotional investment into bullshit that does not matter, then yes, absolutely, I'm a fanboy.
That's the best definition for it ever. Let's write that down. Sure.
Let me get a pen.
Yeah.
Are you? What's your bag, baby?
Nothing. I'm a 49ers fan. Totally arbitrarily, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and they beat the Broncos 55-10 in the Super Bowl. Those are
sure
not
did.
Reasons
yep.
for me. And so they were in the Super Bowl last year, and I got really giddy and stuff, and I was like, why? I mean, I still was really upset that they lost. But it was like, it doesn't affect me at all. The next day, I went out and, you know, ate a breakfast burrito and did everything else I normally do. I don't really care about anything. I like things that are good, so if somebody makes them bad, then I don't like them anymore, but I'm not upset.
Yeah, exactly. I've never really been the type of person to write a letter. You know, I don't understand how people can get so into something to, I mean, I've never dressed up. I've never really engaged on that level, but I do have this like deep appreciation for shit. And, you know, just to see it like kind of messed up, just kind of, it breaks, it kind of destroys a little bit of that, of a piece of what you used to like, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of, did you see the news, the last couple of Star Warses?
Yeah.
Where Obi-Wan is yelling at the new Darth Vader. He's like, you were supposed to be the chosen one. That's how I felt about those movies. It's like, you were supposed to be good. This was our chance to have the new Star Wars, and it wasn't any good. And, you know, you got my hopes up, and you just feel disappointed. Mm-hmm. You move on. You say, well, I guess I won't buy those on DVD. And that's as much that you can possibly put yourself into it as I think you should. But you still get disappointed. You still, I don't know, maybe I'm more attached to, like, you know, fantasy and shit. That's why I don't really get into sports.
Okay.
Because I see it as the same scenario playing out over and over again. It's like watching chess.
You know? Right.
It's like, well, I appreciate the strategy, sure, and I'll watch it, and I'm not gonna root for anybody. Why the fuck? Why do I care who wins?
Right. Exactly. 20 years, every team is gonna have won the Super Bowl. So what does it matter? You know, everybody, every city. Yeah.
It's only like MMA. You can honestly just watch two grown machines just kind of go after each other.
My ex-brother-in-law is an MMA fighter, and he's been tearing it up lately. So I guess that's one thing. I'm a fanboy of his hand. He's doing really good, and I guess he was having some words with the guy that he was going to fight, and the guy seemed like total douche. He had green hair and everything, and the guy was like, oh, I'm going to kick his ass. And he got his ass handed to him, and it was awesome. I love to see comeuppance. That's what I'm a fanboy. Fanboy of comeuppance. Yes. And people's egos are getting put in check.
Oh my god.
We're learning a lot about you, Rick.
Sure, that's fine.
Fan of comeuppance.
Fan of comeuppance. There we go. I've got like 14 album titles. That's 15 right there.
458 and fan of comeuppance. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of comeuppance too, man. I love it when somebody's talking trash and it gets their ass kicked.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
I regularly peruse YouTube videos for justice. I love watching like fights where somebody's getting fucked with, and then that person turns around and ends up being a karate master and just lays the person out.
Like all those bullies getting their ass kicked videos.
It's my favorite thing in the world, dude. It's like, yes, assholes went down. Like somebody who cut somebody off but ends up crashing into the guardrail.
I was driving down the highway once, and a guy in a truck went over onto the shoulder and was just flying down 225, and hit the soft shoulder, and it pulled him into the grass, and he nailed a tree.
Oh damn! Damn.
I helped him. I gave him a t-shirt to wipe the blood off of his face because he hit his head on the windshield, and ambulances came and stuff. But at the same time, I was kind of like, yes.
Yeah. Well, he learned.
That's what
his
you
lesson.
Get. Yeah. Stupid. That's what you get for being an asshole. Them's and some comeuppets.
Yeah.
People continually want to learn things the hard way. Let me just prove to the world that no, we're not done learning things the hard way. We can't just evolve that easily. Fuck you, world. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to cut corners as much as possible.
And it never works. Why you gotta put the work in.
Why can't we just adopt a program? Get the fuck with it.
You know what it is that people are still nice to dumb people. And if we just all started ignoring dumb people until they got smart.
Stop breeding with dumb people.
Stop breeding with dumb people. Stop feeding them. Stop
letting them breed.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're going to form countries and outfuck us.
Yeah.
That's what would happen. And then
happened in Australia. And now they're fine. Exactly. So let's talk about how I'm turning 30 tomorrow.
Hey, right. happy birthday.
Cool. No, let's not talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm excited.
How do you feel turning 30?
I don't know. How old are you?
27. Oh, okay. I'll be 28 next month.
I don't know. It's good. It's weird. I've had a lot of a lot of moments of clarity lately, I guess. Just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm turning 30.
The fog's kind of lifting. The fog of adolescence.
It is, and it's a long process. I mean, 30 is totally arbitrary, but it's again, that's a word that's going to come up a lot. Arbitrary. But it's a moment to reflect, I suppose, like every birthday is, and this one is just, you know, it's another decade, and it doesn't matter.
Do you find yourself gazing on 40 though? I mean, is that, do you find your that you guys,
fuck you? No,
I mean, because that's me personally.
How old are
you? I'm the same age. I'm going to be in, you know, July. I'm going to be 28. Mm-hmm. So I find myself looming on that weird edge of despair, like, you know,
not doing anything in his life, and you haven't been for the past 5 years. You should really get your shit together. And well, I don't know what's tomorrow. What's yesterday? What's
you know, tomorrow? Justin Bieber fucked us all because look how cool he got so young.
Cool.
You think
he's cool?
Right? Yeah.
Oh,
have you heard him play music? No. Just. I mean, we have a youth-oriented culture, and it sucks. Cause,
yeah.
But so many old people have contributed so much.
Well, that's like, what I'm inspired by. Like, you know, if we're talking about comedians,
mm-hmm.
Louis Black really hit it big around age 50.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been performing, but shit, mm-hmm. like age 50, he kind of blew up in this country, and it's like, that's fucking inspiring. He's still going really strong.
Jim Gaffigan, too.
Really?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He looks like he's in his 50s. He doesn't look young.
Yeah, well, he doesn't look good at all, man.
It's got to be rough to be inside Jim Gaffigan's body, man.
Who else? I mean, a bunch of actors don't get started until their 50s, you know, things like that. And just pursue what you love.
Yeah. I mean, I love my youth. For that, and I think I got a lot of like fucking around done in that time, so I'm appreciative of that. But
I would have hated me if I was 23 and famous. I would have been the worst.
Yeah.
God, I want to be a good person before I get famous.
Yeah.
So you got to have that struggle to get there.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
it all gets fucked up, and you turn into Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, and there's no value.
It's just yeah,
there's no value. I want to get all my alcoholism out of the way before. I get famous.
Yes. Right.
I want to be jaded before I have anything to appreciate.
So, right. That way you can really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Either that or you'll go off the rails and throw it all away.
Yeah.
One of the two things is going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't know what's coming up for Ricky Simone. Neither does he. Yeah. It's going to be a cash. No.
As long as the work is consistently good. Like Robert Downey Jr. He was consistently good. Coked up, drunk, sober. Didn't matter. He was... The motherfucker was chocolate.
Do you have anything coming up, Rick, that you would like to plug? Yep.
Yeah, sure. I'm doing a show at Jake's sometime.
Your friend?
Plugging it? Yeah, exactly. My boy
Jake. We're going to Jake's house.
No, Jake's Denver. I'm Ben Roy's headlining on Saturday the 11th. It's in Denver. Just Google Jake's. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday. I don't know the date. I'm headlining Skylark sometime soon. I think it's the 14th, which I think is a Tuesday. I'm going to look at... Yeah, that's it. 14th. Tuesday, May 14th. Skylark, Rick DeSimone headlining. And, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I'm going to work on music, and I'm working on some other creative projects. I'm trying to get away from the stand-up a little bit, start doing...
Yeah.
More video and more music and things like that.
Cool. What kind of music?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I want to do music. That's all.
That's cool.
And now I have some instruments, so I'm going to make music.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. I'm not for commercial.
Yeah, that's...
It's for fun, right?
Yeah. That's exactly what I do. I mean, I have a house full of instruments, and not at one point have they come in use in any sort of, like, commercial way, or I get to like say like, oh yeah, I'm a musician. No, I'm a dude who farts around.
But you play music, right? You make music.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
exactly. So it doesn't matter. But you
beautiful thing,
producer.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make a song called Open Mics. It's open mic night. Steve and I already worked on the chorus. Steve Vanderplug, my roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the chorus down. I'm writing the song. It's gonna be fun. We'll see if it gets done. See if I have the wherewithal to do it, and just dumb things like that. I want to work on pet projects.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's good, man. It's good to have a multitude of artistic endeavors so you don't get bored with one.
I'm drawing a lot lately. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a man of many talents.
Not good.
Man of many interests.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you have a Twitter or something like that? People can...
I don't do it at all.
You don't do it?
No.
I'm not very good at it.
Add me on Facebook. I don't want to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
I don't. I want to entertain the people that come to the shows and shake their hand and say, hey, how you doing? And... You know, but I don't want to be a celebrity.
All right. Well,
yeah,
my Twitter is my Twitter is @BradleyHaltom. You can follow me there and
@gmail.com.
AKA, I would like to be famous, please. Yeah. At gmail.com.
If I could just get a little bit of that fame, that'd be nice.
Yeah, fuck these kids.
You can reach me at please send me money at AOL.com.
Do you have a Twitter, Micah, that you want to?
Oh, I have a Twitter, but I don't really. I mean, it's...
My Twitter is Rock Diesel Bones, and I'll take all the followers I can get.
I don't remember what my Twitter handle was, so I think you can type in my name and look for it. But don't.
But don't, you know, I've got some shows coming up. You know, just look out for me. Just if you're at one of the shows, awesome.
How about
fuck off?
I'm gonna be in some places, so if you could just like be there at the same time, that would be great.
You know what? Bring me a hamburger to my show. That would be lovely. Oh, I'm doing a show. By the time this is broadcast, the show will be done, and it will have been a shit show.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, of course, every Sunday come to King's Open Mic, which is
all back in place.
Yeah. Are you guys going to start doing the outside summer shows consistently
now? We did it last week, yeah. And I don't know, we'll see this week. Those are fun. Yeah. I'm hosting this week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, again, is my birthday.
Yep. And it's going to be a birthday party for Rock Diesel Bones.
I'm
going to
get way drunk. I'm going to do a shot between each comic.
Wow. Yeah. There's like 30 comics.
I know. It's going to be crazy. I didn't say they were all booze.
No. Sometimes it's going to be shots of wheatgrass.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a healthy birthday because I'm turning 30.
Right, you got to start caring now.
I'm going to open a 401k. Exactly, all stuff that I'm doing. Cool.
Well, thank you for coming, Rick.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you for having me. Micah,
very good. Pleasure.
We just shook hands, just so you know. With the
All right, bye, everybody.
Love and peace.